Children, I have some exciting news.
You are fake news.
Hello, Adelaide.
Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dits and Loz.
Overnight news.
Well, it was still wet, wild and woolly when we arrived here earlier this morning. Roo, you've been on the radar. What do you know?
Well,
I think
it's meant to drop out about now, but I don't know if it is or not. But I don't think it's meant to be anywhere near as bad today.
Right.
It's meant to be still a bit wet, but not as full on as last night.
Mm. We had lunch booked yesterday at Henley Square, and we got rung up by the restaurant to say, don't come.
Henley Square had power out since Saturday and is still out now. Mm.
Yep. So the restaurant's got hit hard down there.
Filthy. Mm. They've lost a whole
weekend. Oh, there's nothing worse.
Yeah,
there's
terrible.
Nothing worse. Infuriating.
Yep, terrible.
Hey, have you guys ever heard about, you've heard about the Bermuda Triangle, obviously.
Heard about it, but don't know really what it means or anything about it.
It's a triangle of ocean, and there's been a lot of
people go missing.
Yeah, flights go missing.
Boats?
Ships.
Ooh,
yep, boats go missing. And this is just like
planes,
a lot of conspiracy theories around it.
Disappear off the radar.
That's right. Well, they're making a documentary about it, and there's plenty of documentaries about it, but there's some...
Is it real?
It's one of these conspiracy theories. There are some people that absolutely believe in it, and there are those that think it's bunkum. So,
what do you think, Loz?
Are
you a believer?
I'm not... That there's some sort of sci-fi element to it. No, I think there's probably just... It's just a very hostile area with weather.
A lucky area?
It's up there with the Loch Ness Monster.
Yeah.
Oh, did you know
it? No, it is.
Wait, Loch Ness, we know, is not real.
Well,
there are people that 100% believe in it.
No, I think the Loch Ness is a little bit more far-fetched than the Bermuda Triangle, because there are just a number of ships that have gone missing both from the air and in the water. But they're in there at the moment with crews, scuba diving, and they have found a wreckage. It is the Challenger. It was a space shuttle that went up in 1986. And
what?
It exploded in the sky, and it was this horrible thing.
Landed in the Bermuda Triangle.
They found it in the bloody Bermuda Triangle. So that makes me feel doo-dee-dee-doo-dee-dee-dee-doo. That
is a vortex
weird.
That sucks things into
vortex.
It. It's a
vortex.
Yeah.
It's like us on a Friday night when that first beer comes in.
You get sucked into that front
into
bar.
The...
I went to walk past it. Sucks straight in through the
door. That would be
a
great name for a front bar, the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah,
just wreckages of people.
Hey, what about this kid out of Leeds in England, in the UK? I've read about this morning. He's 11 years of age, and he's done a Mensa test. Mm. He's scored a higher IQ than Albert Einstein and Stephen Hawking.
What's his
IQ? And he's 11. 162. And they're saying for a kid of that age, it's never been numbered. It's the highest ever.
What does a normal adult get? Like just a stock standard?
I think it's normal to have about
20. What would you get, dude? Seriously?
No, I wouldn't have a clue.
The average is about 110, give or take. But if you're 130 or above, you're eligible to be in Mensa, which is a sort of group for...
The elite group of IQ.
Highly attended.
But this boy's in the
20,
top.
So 110 is normal, is it? Yeah.
100 to 130
is elite. If you're a bit dopey.
So this 11-year-old, 162.
I don't know. Would you want that? I don't think I'd want to be that smart. Because the smarter you are, the more you are.
Well, you can't help it.
Yeah, I know. But I just feel like it just opens you up to too much knowledge.
I don't mean to know everything. I don't mean to know everything, but I just do.
You'd be dangerous with 162.
Unstoppable.
Oh, imagine.
Just, you'd rule the world.
Can't believe this kid knows more than I do.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He doesn't.
It's got to be a myth, surely.
You're not wrong.
How do you go being his parents trying to discipline this kid when you know very
homework.
Well?
Yeah, but I know everything.
I know everything. Shut
Dad,
up and
I'm
do
smarter
it.
Than you. Yeah. I know more than you, Dad.
I'm actually smarter than you. I'm not put together.
In fact, I won't bother going to school ever again.
No, that's right.
Because I know more than the teachers.
There you go.
South Australia's recent storms have left a trail of destruction.
Downed trees blocking roads, crushing
damage
cars.
Damage caused by SA's freak spring. Tens of thousands of homes and businesses are still without
trail
electricity.
Of destruction from one side of the state to the other.
65,000 homes and businesses are still in the dark tonight.
The mini cyclone brought down a staggering 300 power lines.
A worst blackout in 6 years.
In turn, knocked out electricity to 163,000 homes and businesses.
Holy dooly.
It was full on Saturday afternoon, wasn't it?
We got belted.
Just spoke about the AFLW. They were trying to play a big semi-final knockout game and they had to stop for 47 minutes. I was coming back from up the river and I was driving through the Adelaide Hills, sort of round through that Stirling area, and it was that heavy. I reckon there was 40 or 50 cars that had decided to pull over. It was too dangerous to drive, just sitting on the side of the road. It was just full on. There was water on the roads. It was bloody dangerous, actually, like really dangerous. So that's where I was when the storm went through.
Mm. I was really smart. I went for a bike ride.
Oh, I did. Saturday afternoon.
I know, because I looked out the back and I thought, yeah, it's pretty grey.
You have so got let's get no this done idea before. About the weather.
Well, I thought.
Did you not check the app?
Get it done before it hits.
Oh,
I can't remember. But
Don't tell me it was like.
I got about 3 minutes into my ride. I went, oh, no, not.
You would have been like the Wicked Witch of the West, right?
Yeah, it was around lunchtime. I got absolutely bombarded. So I turned around and went. So I had a 3 minute bike ride anyway.
Bloody hell.
I'm trying to exercise, Roo. I'm trying to, you know.
You've got no. You don't take any interest in the weather, do you?
Not
weather,
really.
Sunset.
I thought it looked a bit grey.
Anything natural
yeah.
is just out of bounds for you, isn't it?
Well, it's just not my thing. I played an indoor sport, Bruce.
Sunsets, bloody anything, serenity outside.
When you play squash, you don't have to worry about the weather.
It's an indoor sport.
It's indoors.
You know there was a massive storm coming on Saturday.
Like, if I'm a cricketer, I've got to know, oh, geez, it's going to rain or whatever. Play squash.
Yeah, but just as a member of society, I check the weather.
You went for a bike ride.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I got a good hosing down.
Mm.
Loz, where were you?
I was at a 30th in Paracombe, up at the winery there, Paracombe Wines, and it was insane. It was insane. It was beautiful, and then all of a sudden.
But were you all indoors or outdoors?
We were indoors. We were inside the winery, and we were, because big glass windows, and we were just watching this. It was like going through a car wash.
You're up on a hill there too, aren't
you? Yeah.
So you would have been really in it.
It was like going through a car wash. The windows were just completely being completely saturated. Mm. And just before, like seconds before it hit, my friend's uncle went outside to grab an umbrella that he saw. And we watched him walk out, and as he walked out,
he got blown
the storm
away.
Came in. And I swear, it nearly took him. It nearly took him. He got pushed up against the window. And then he had to sort of slide back in the door. It was crazy.
I reckon good place to be for us in a storm, a winery.
Yeah, winery. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. All right.
That's the perfect storm.
Let us know where you were in the storm on Saturday, Arvo. It was just full on, and last night I was up a lot of the night. I had to get up and walk outside my jocks about 2 o'clock this morning. I didn't know what. I was out there with my torch. I thought the bloody roof was going to blow off there at one point.
Well, it was the storm blow all your clothes away as well, didn't it?
No, I just got out of bed and I'm not going to go and have a look outside. This is unbelievable. Let's go to Coromandel Valley. Richard, where were you when the storm hit Saturday?
I was in the house here at Coromandel Valley. It just come up so quick. I just watched the end of that last AFL quarter when they went off for the rain, and then I just walked out to the windows and just the trees, like 8-inch trees, just snapping off like a matchstick. Like every tree in our backyard has just been smashed. We've got about a 40-metre gum tree, significant, and it just ups, it didn't snap off. The whole tree ball, the whole root ball just fell over and just destroyed a neighbour's shed. And
a huge tree. You're saying a 40-metre high tree fell over?
Easy.
Wow, that's a big tree.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
This thing is a significant tree, the base thing where you can't cut it down, that sort of stuff. And it just destroyed the neighbour's shed. They've got two sheds, but they were setting up for a 19th birthday party.
Oh. No.
And they were holding marquees down and stopping blowing away. One just blew away.
Oh, no.
And they abandoned that and went in the shed. And then the bloody tree fell on the shed.
What?
Oh, no. Yeah. Was anyone hurt?
No.
Have you left your house all weekend, Richard? Cause you're still,
beg your pardon?
Have you left your house since Saturday?
No. Yesterday, a friend from work and a brother-in-law came over and he got out of the car. Their place wasn't hit, he got out of the car. He goes, you just get out to this cacophony symphony of chainsaws.
Yeah.
And it's just,
let us know if you want us to bring some milk and bread over for you.
Yeah, mate. Bloody hell, hunkering down. We're asking where you were when the storm hit. We've got Johnny from Meadows. Good morning, John. Where were you?
I was actually in a dairy.
A dairy?
Dairy? What, milk and cows?
Yeah, I do a bit of relief milking for a mate, and he was out, and I was just about to go and get the cows in, and it just hit. And as you know, in a dairy, it's not like a house. There's no windows or anything, so I'm just trying to shelter behind a wall there, and I'd actually send a video to me mate, and I said, if you think I'm going to get the cows in this, you can go and get stuck.
How do the cows handle it? Do they start mooing or anything?
They just stick their asses to the wind and all huddled together.
Cop it in the backside.
So cute.
They were pretty keen. They were pretty keen to get in the dairy when I actually went to get them in. They didn't want to get out the dairy.
So yeah, I can
take
imagine.
Take a bit of cover.
Yeah,
it was a little bit exciting. There was a fair bit going on.
So a stand-in dairy operator.
Yeah, that's it.
What do you normally do?
I'm a groundsman at college.
All right. Oh, you done a bit of dairy work before?
Yeah, mate. I've come off a dairy farm. So yeah.
Are they making money at the moment or not?
Well. Depends who you sell your milk to, I suppose.
That's right.
Rue will call you after the show and have a big chat.
Any more questions, Rue?
Well, it's important, the poor dairy farmers. Okay.
Next, Kerry from Happy Valley. Where were you?
Hi, we were moving house.
No!
You've got to be joking.
Come on.
And we, like, it was already a storm before the cell hit, right? So we were moving and unloading, and then my fiance and I, we went, like, I think we'd better hanker down. Like, I think this has got too much now. I don't think we better do that second load. And so we're standing, you know, in this new house, and we're looking out the back under the pergola, and the weather went from coming just one way, which I think was, you know, from the south, to all of a sudden I'm saying, Stephen, the weather's coming the other way. Oh, my God, it's coming this way. And it was just like a mini tornado. And we're just looking, oh, my God. And so the power went out. We still haven't got power. I've got three fridges with three full freezers and a chest freezer, all full of all homemade cooked food.
Get a generator.
And we've got solar electricity. We've got solar hot water. We've got double glazed windows. We've got no batteries. So guess what the next thing's going to be? We're going to get batteries so that we've got power.
Good on you, Kerry. Well done.
Some
people have had a nightmare over the weekend.
It's that bad our phones are gone down. Yeah, we can't take any more calls.
We've got one.
What I've ended up with, no internet. Has that happened at your place as well? I've actually got power, but no internet.
Yeah,
I think the net was down a bit. Yeah.
Take my eyes, but not the Wi-Fi.
Something weird's going on.
We have got another caller, if we want to say
that. Yeah. Who is it?
Jesse from Zatto's Landing.
G'day, Jesse.
Morning, boys and
loves.
How are we?
Where's Zatto's Landing?
Just downstream from Nanham.
Okay, so it's a bit wet.
Very wet at the moment, yeah.
All right, what happened to you over the weekend?
Yeah, so we live in an old cottage. It was built in the 1880s. Just tucked away at the end of the road there. So when they released a new forecast on Friday of the river height, we worked out that it's going to be pretty close in the door of the house. So, no. I've got a little landscaping in the earthmoving business, so I've got some machinery, but I had a mate up give me a hand, and we got hold of a heap of clay, and we're building a levee bank in front of the house.
Wow.
And we goofed it up about half a metre, and we're 2 metres off the house, and then we were sitting there on the porch, and it was dead calm, and his girlfriend rang him from Adelaide, and she said their gates are just blowing off, and they'd been smashed by a storm. And we were looking back over the hills and looked pretty good, but within about 20 minutes, went from dead calm to just wild, and it dropped 20 or 25 mil of rain in 10 minutes, and it just flooded the wrong side of the levee bank. just about
you're
in the
keeping
house.
It in, not out.
We were running around with hoses, siphoning the water out the other side. We had shovels trying to dig trenches.
Oh, God.
And, just about got in the house, but managed to keep it out.
What are you trapped the water in? Oh,
yeah, thanks for calling in, Jesse.
We do have a plan that we were going to build a sump and pump the water out, but we just haven't got to that bit yet.
Get some flippers and a snorkel and some floaties, I reckon. It's going to be bigger than what they're saying.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Do you want to give someone a cart and a grog?
So hard to choose because everyone's
so hard. I feel sorry for Kerry.
I feel sorry for Kerry.
Yeah.
Kerry, have a cart and a triple M and Aussie Power.
When your fridge is up and running.
When you got your power back.
You have to go and buy some ice.
It might be lukewarm, but it'll be good.
That'd be fine.
Loz, tell us about Katy Perry.
She was on an episode of The Project and Lisa Wilkinson was asking her about Australia and what it was like when she was here, and she said it was scary. Mm. It was scary, and this is a sort of stereotype that a lot of people have about Australia.
Hello, I got your sweet potato.
What's this?
Ow!
What? She was feeding
Isn't that what you want?
She was feeding a kangaroo. And then it bit her.
Is that? Play it again.
Hello, I got your sweet potato. Ow!
Funny. You're right.
That's feeding a kangaroo sweet potato.
So that was one incident she had. But
that's funny.
Another incident she had, she said as soon as she got to Port Douglas and they were in their hotel, she walked in and there were two massive huntsmen there.
Yeah.
And I think for us, we're used to them. We know how innocuous they are. But if you're coming from overseas and you hear Australia's this scary place and then you get to your five-star hotel and there's two enormous hairy spiders in there, you're just not going to...
That'd freak somebody.
And we don't charge for that either. That's no extra charge, love. You've had a brown snake in your bedroom, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
Because you're a hills girl.
Yep. I made the mistake of leaving because I was in the granny flat out the back. Made the mistake of leaving the sliding door open while I was getting ready for year 12 graduation. I was going in and out the house and sort of doing my hair and freaking, what am I going to wear? And I walk back into my room and I see there's a big brown snake just curled up on my art folder, my black art folder, which had been sitting in the sun. And it was just sort of looking at me. And it felt like maybe 5 years where I stood there and went, right, okay, so I have to make a braid a rope out of my own hair and I'll lasso it up onto the roof and I'll climb up. Because I couldn't imagine walking past it. Eventually it did slither out, but my God.
You've never done that again.
No.
Are we a scary country? Do we have a lot of...
I find sharks very scary. But if you don't go where they are, you don't have to worry about them.
Yeah.
Look, I never swim deeper than my waist.
Yep. But that fear stopping you from enjoying the ocean.
It is. Oh, I love the ocean.
I'm the same. I can't just, if we were out way off on the Gulf there, I wouldn't just jump off and start swimming because it was hot.
I've done the shark cage diving heaps of times and I absolutely love them, like in that setting, but just respect them.
Yeah, okay.
So I don't worry about snakes or anything. I don't reckon there's another animal other than crocodile and shark.
I reckon in the water, I'm more scared of a blue ring octopus than I am of a shark.
How many people do you know that have been bitten by a blue ring octopus?
Well, I don't know any shark attack victims.
That's
either.
Why you don't go.
I know lots of people with shark attack.
Blue ring octopus, all they have to do, and they're tiny. They're the size of the palm of your hand.
How many
they're
people
beautiful?
Do you know that have been bitten by one?
Don't, but I know that it's possible. None. Yeah, well, maybe I don't know them because they didn't survive to tell me the story, you know?
They've been on the front page.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I saw one when I was a kid, came out of a Coke can. I thought it was pretty. My cousin had a panic attack. Yeah, because
they hide in things.
So he picked it up in the water and it came out and sort of opened up in his face and he knew what it was.
They're not very big, are they?
Tiny. Yeah. Tiny, but they'll kill you as soon as they get you because they paralyze you. You actually stay alive. People can keep you alive with CPR for an hour.
I've researched this.
Yeah, because I have to plan ahead. You can, if you do CPR on someone, it keeps them alive because it actually just stops your muscles from working.
Right.
And then the poison wears off after an hour. So if you keep lungs and heart going, then they'll stay alive.
I won't invite you raking for crabs then because you might get bitten by.
No, you do want me there because I'll be the one who knows how to save everyone as soon as it happens. You'll be glad.
Ditch, are you frightened by anything?
Sharks, yeah. Sharks and brown snakes. Yeah, they're my top two.
What about, taipan as well? It's pretty scary. What about the funnel web? The funnel web spider?
You've never seen them.
Never seen them.
Yep. Well, how many brown snakes have you seen, seriously?
Yeah, a couple.
Not many.
No, not many.
Have you been within a metre?
No, but when you play golf here, our golf courses are riddled with them. They're everywhere.
Have you been within a metre of one?
I reckon I have,
Once or twice.
Because I don't hit my ball on the fairway too often. Where I hit.
It's straight dead.
Where my ball goes, there are snakes everywhere.
Good stuff.
On Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dits and Loz.
Did you learn something?
What did we learn? What did we learn?
I learned that there must be a hell of a lot of water coming down the Murray. I was up sandbagging at a shack on the weekend, and to get into the actual shack, there still needs another 3 metres of water. So if you stand up and see how high that is, and when it goes over the banks with a flood, it goes out, can go out hundreds of metres or 500 metres that way. So 3 metres of water along the entire length of the Murray. And the width that it takes up, it is a hell of a lot of water that's coming down.
Yep.
You sort of can't actually picture how much it is, but it's That's what they say is coming, and they upgraded again on Friday. So I just can't get my head around the amount of water that's actually going to come down and come into our state over the next 2 months. It's going to be, I don't know if frightening is the right word, but it probably will be a little
It'll be spectacular.
Sort of spectacular, heartbreaking for a lot of people.
Yeah, sure.
But anyway, about 3 metres of water coming down.
What did you learn, Loz?
I learnt a little trick that you can do. So we were talking, I was with a bunch of people on Saturday at the 30th, and the power was coming on off and on. And we were talking about the freezer and how sometimes you'll be out of the house all day in weather like this, and wherever you are, the power will be on. But maybe in your suburb, there was a few hours of outages, and you don't know whether your freezer's okay, because when you come home, the power's back on, and you go, was this melting all day? So what you do is you get a little cup of water, and you freeze that, and you just rest a coin on top. And if the power's out for long enough for the ice to melt, the coin will start to drop through the water. And if it starts to, if the power comes back on, you'll open up the freezer and you'll see that the coin is sort of halfway through, or it could be at the bottom of the cup or whatever. Right. But it'll let you know how long the power's been out in your freezer and whether you should be worried
Who
about the food.
Of these things?
I just thought that was genius. It's such a simple thing to do.
Does it mean your meat's off, though?
Well, it's
if
up
the
to
coin
how
goes
far
in?
Can the coin go down?
Well, I think if the coin's at the very bottom, you've got to get rid of everything in there. If it's halfway through, you've got to you have a think about the risk you want to take. But
I hate throwing out stuff.
I know, me too. I know.
Get rid of the coin.
All right, what I learned over the weekend, you know when you're buying a round of beers? So Friday night I had to go to some drinks. You buy a round of beers.
Did you have to?
Anyway, three blokes say, we'll have three pints, thanks.
Was and that then, after your lunch there you had on Friday?
Yeah, that was it. Anyway, don't interrupt. Now, so three pints. And the fourth bloke says, I'll have a Corona with lime, please.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He tends to cop a bit of a bagging.
Who
has a beer that needs lime in it or lemon. You know, you kind of...
Corona, come on.
A bit of lemon in it.
Nothing wrong with a Corona and lime.
It's gluten-free.
Yeah, it is.
What?
Corona.
Corona.
That's why we drink it.
I never knew. And this bloke said, well, I have to drink it. Gluten-free. Never ever knew that.
You didn't know that?
No.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that either, Chubba.
It's a gluten-free option. It's low-cal too. So it's a it's and
so you're having fruit
in it,
like
and low-cal.
I know.
That's healthy.
That's like a health drink.
It's a smoothie.
It is. That's right. So there you go. That's what we learned over the weekend.
Switch and save on car service and repairs with ServiceNow Pay Later options. Available at all Automasters branches. Call 1300 Automasters.
Excuse me.
Have you heard?
Psst. Hey, have you heard?
Have you heard?
Have you heard?
The rumour mill.
All right, so we mentioned the LIV Golf Tournament coming to the Grange Golf Club, which is very, very exciting. We can tell you the shark is in town. He's already here.
The shark's
in town. Greg Norman's here. Well, there was a story. Oh, he might be coming later in the week. You know, he could be coming here and make the announcement. He's here. The shark's been spotted. There you go. The shark is in town.
I'm scared of sharks.
He's
held up very well, the shark.
Oh, yeah.
He's still ripped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he likes getting his gear off,
himself
too.
Fit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about him and Malinowskis together?
Oh.
Shirts off.
They just need Matthew McConaughey playing the bongos and they got a bloody topless band.
Hilarious. Come on, Mally, keep your shirt on.
The Chippendales.
That is hilarious.
Now, do you know what LIV stands for?
To get him out.
Pardon?
Do you know what LIV stands for?
LIV, no.
Nah. Well, it's actually Roman numerals, 54.
What is that?
And what's 54 got?
Well, the reason, the significance, I was told this over the weekend, and I don't know if it might be an urban myth, but when we meet the shark, because I'm sure we'll come into Triple M, we'll meet him.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to ask him. Apparently, he said that 54, when you play a championship course past 72, if you birdie every hole, if you have the perfect round, you'd have a 54. And also,
you may as well be speaking Mandarin.
They play their tournaments over 54 holes. So there you go. That's the significance.
Okay. So it's only three rounds.
So LIV is 54.
Oh, that makes sense.
But apparently he's already here, raring to go. Hey, just a little rumour as well, another little footy one.
Where do you reckon we'd see the shark if you're going to see him anywhere other than Grange?
Alberton Hotel.
Having
a couple of scoobies.
where would we find the shark?
Yeah, good question.
Henley Square shut too, no power.
Oh, yeah. Maybe a little wine bar in town.
No,
maybe.
Do you know who his close mate is?
Or the Sofitel?
He's an Adelaide connection. One of his closest mates is Roger Rashid.
Really?
Might be staying at his place.
Don't you mates with Roger
Rushing?
Why
would he be mates with Buddy Roger?
Because he is.
No, I'm only joking.
Roger stays at his place over there in Florida all the time.
Would you...
Come on, Roger.
Would you go up to Roger and say, can I have his... Would
I've already done it. I've been messaging Roger all morning, but he won't give me anything.
Come on, Roger.
Come on, Roger, open up. Where's the shark? Where's the shark staying?
Where's the shirtless shark? Mm. Come on. Get him in.
We are shark spotting.
Mm, we are. If you find him, if you see him, if you know anything, 133353.
Nathan Buckley spotted in town over the weekend down at Glenelg.
He's coaching.
He might be playing for us.
He's coaching.
What I want to know is why is it that whenever we see someone in Adelaide, we're suspicious that they must be signing a contract? Like, they can't just come here for holiday.
No.
Adelaide, you wouldn't come to Adelaide for a holiday. There must be another reason.
There must be a reason you're here.
Something going on.
Something's going on.
Yeah, we are. We're told the shark, Greg Norman, is already in town. Big announcement this week about the LIV Golf Tour coming to the Grange Golf Club. We've got a caller.
Yeah, let's head out to Redwood Park. G'day, Tyson.
Yeah, boys. How you going?
Good. Have you spotted a shark?
Yeah, we spotted him last night at Meat and Wine Co.
That's a restaurant he'd be at. Yes, top end steak place.
All right, who was he eating with?
Didn't pay too much attention to that, but he was with three other boys and saw him come out the toilets and be like, is that Greg Norman? And turned out it was. And before you know it, he came over to us later on and had a photo with us.
Oh.
A bit of a chat and, yeah, it was not too bad.
He approached you for no reason or did you call him over?
No, we went up to him.
Oh, okay, I was going to say Tyson.
So you're a pest then, Tyson.
Yeah, someone's got to be.
How was he? Was he good?
Yeah, he was good and he just wanted to just relax because he said he only just flew in. But
Did he say anything about the golf?
Yeah, he reckons it's all going ahead in March.
Oh. March.
All right.
March. And we asked about Grange, and he said, it's all happening in March, but he didn't deny Grange.
Good on you, Tice. Good work.
Okay, he's got a big connection with Grange. He won his first professional tournament there. I reckon it was 1976. But also, his company redesigned the golf course there recently. Oh. There's two courses, and they did one. So his company's got a connection there. So
he approves of the course if his company's done
it. So that means you've technically got a relationship or a connection with Greg Norman because you won the B grade there, didn't you?
That's right. We have something in common.
Oh, wow. You're in the same ilk.
Roger Rushy was one of the fellas at dinner last night. I've just had that confirmed. Greg and I, both winners. All right, don't.
Well, he was one of the two boys that he was with.
Greg and I often talk about our victories at Grange. Yes.
Oh, this is funny. But you actually won too. You won C grade and B grade.
I have. He hasn't done that.
You won twice as many as Greg.
I have.
Are we going to hear about you and Greg Norman and Roger Rashid at Fugazi's or something next week?
Yeah, possibly. Just talking about championship.
Greg loves to talk golf with me.
Yeah.
Does he? Yeah. How do you tackle the 13th?
From the bushes.
That's good.
Now we know it was wet and wild over the weekend. Mm. The pageant was still on. It still went ahead.
It did. And Benny, you were there.
Yeah, we took the kids down. We got a little spot on Wakefield Street and we were lucky. The weather did. It looked really nasty, but it held out for probably about maybe 45 minutes. And then with about 10 flights to go where we were, bang.
Mm. I think still over 200,000 people.
Bloody hell. You'll grow out of it, Benny.
Big crowd.
You'll be gone.
200,000, did you say?
I think so, yeah.
My nephew was playing drums. You know, one of them ones with the little drummer boy. So that was cool. My sister and my other sister and when watched it and with my nephew said it was awesome. Too wet for me.
Yeah.
How old was your nephew?
He's 17.
Only lost couldn't be bothered.
Pardon?
At 17. Isn't it a little kid's thing?
He was playing the drums in it. Like he was part of the marching band.
He said he thought it was awesome.
That's what I thought. No. He's like chalk in the road.
Oh, yeah, no. My other nephew went and he's five. Yeah. But I don't think they have five-year-olds playing the drums in that would be a nightmare.
Tough at the Rashudo house. We don't do the pageant at the
Rashudo.
Get out and kick the 40-year-old
rain. Cut down a tree. Sandbags.
Yeah, flood tomatoes.
Get ready for the flood.
Do the form.
The horses. Get up the river.
Pageant. Funny. Soft.
Bullshit. Can't believe you went, Gilbert.
Tough enough, isn't We're just mate? Doing this for you, Ben. I don't think anyone listening is enjoying this.
That's a mum's job, Gilbert.
Oh! Wife took the girls down the pageant, me and the lads. With a lot of whippersnipping.
All right, I'm going to start crying in a minute. That's really good. What are we doing? The pressure test.
Yes. Yeah, pressure bucks. Test.
Win some cash.
Times 353.
Bruce House, the girls sleep in bedrooms, yeah. The boys sleep in barracks.
In camo pajamas.
Make your bed.
Have your rations.
What a weekend Chris Dittmer had babysitting.
Well, it was just sprung on me because I've got a granddaughter, 8 months old, my first
she's
little grandie.
So cute.
Beautiful little Frankie. And anyway, My son rang me and said, his missus has gone to Melbourne on a girls' trip. I said, what about the baby? He goes, yeah, I've got her all weekend.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'll come round and give you a hand. So I got round there.
What did you know?
Anyway, his uncle had turned up as well, Uncle Kim. So it was three men and a baby. Oh. Anyway.
Find that one girl who will sweep them off their feet. Three men and a baby.
We did everything. Changed nappies. We fed her. We bloody gave her fish and chips. We did, you name it.
Fish and chips?
Just whatever we had.
Eight months old. Well,
what's mum's name?
Chloe.
Chloe will come home and the little baby will be saying, Doombin.
Yeah.
Doombin.
She won the quaddy. She, all we did, we watched the races all day and she did not say boo. She loved it.
She
just
loved
sat there
horses.
Smiling and laughing all day.
She's a good baby though, isn't she? She's very relaxed and very placid.
So, anyway, God what almighty. I found over the weekend was it's easy.
It's easy, isn't it?
Easy. Yeah.
I've got six this weekend. Sarah's on the girls' trip away.
Oh, no.
So you might have to come around to my job.
You're a hire a hubby.
I'll give you a few tips.
You get Uncle Ditz will come around.
Uncle Ditz, can you come over?
Easy. No good. Worries.
So wait a minute. Don't you have two children of your own?
Yeah.
Why is this the first time you've ever taken care of a baby?
It was about 30 years ago.
Okay.
You tend to forget how to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So you all got through all right? No burn
marks
or nobody, starvation,
no
nothing?
All good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Didn't have to get your boobie out for a bit of breastfeeding?
No.
Mama.
Who did the bathing?
Tom. We left that to Tom.
Yeah.
That's Dad's job.
Yeah.
Any nappies or anything, Dits?
Did everything.
Oh,
wow. What
did you do for food for yourselves? Just takeaway?
We got takeaway.
Yeah.
Come on. And what did little baby have? Mashed potato?
Yeah, I don't know. Some concoction, I'm not sure.
Don't know.
Don't know.
Oh, we did everything. What'd she eat? Don't know.
Comes in a jar.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Just stir it up.
Yeah.
Nuke it.
Yeah. I say
hold on, hope. 3 years ago, we did a hike for Adelaide charity SIDS for Kids.
The hike was so successful that last year, Variety SA reached out for us to support them too.
This year, we are bringing Triple M's Hike for Hope back bigger than ever before. There are so many charities that need help, we couldn't decide. So, Roo, Ditz and myself will be doing 3 walks for 3 different charities to support the kids of Adelaide.
The charity I'm hiking for is Youth Opportunities. What do you think has been the biggest difference in your life coming out of that experience? What changed for you?
Definitely my self-confidence, I would think. Never talked badly about myself, but I'd always think it and sort of keep everything to myself.
Mm-hmm.
But then over the past year, it's definitely been a big change.
The charity I'm hiking for is Kickstart for Kids, a free breakfast in schools program for underprivileged children. We spoke to founder Ian Steele about how important this service is for South Australian kids.
Just an example, we'd run a pop-up shop. There was a little boy, 11-year-old boy, who we gave his first ever pair of jocks last camp. So he had never owned a pair of jocks before. There's kids that come that don't know how to use a knife and fork, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
They're living in the backs of cars. So, you know, we've got to look after those kids.
The charity I'm walking for is Puddle Jumpers, a program that provides underprivileged children and families with essentials. We spoke to Melanie Tate, the founder, about what they do.
We provide camps for children who don't live with their birth parents and provide them with a holiday, a respite and a break from things. But we also provide emergency and everyday essentials to, you know, children and families that are doing it tough.
Mm-hmm.
And those essentials include things like haircuts and showers, believe it or not, clothing.
And Cara is a single mum and she shared how important Puddle Jumpers is to her.
So I went up to
Mel and I asked if I could just walk up there and get some fruit and veg for my daughter for school.
Right.
Because I'm a single parent and I was doing it tough that week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were so welcoming. I felt a bit embarrassed to ask, but Mel and everyone there was so welcoming to me.
Yep.
And I left with bread and everything I needed to get my daughter happily to school, have lunches. And
so they made a massive difference to you. And it was a sort of... Yeah.
It was a bit of hope.
Like. Yeah. I say hold on, hold, and I will carry you.
I will carry you home. Sometimes you don't know how lucky you are until you hear things like that. And that's why we're walking this week, and we're going to raise a heap of money for kids that are doing it a bit tough leading it into Christmas and throughout the year. In fact, it's been a bloody tough time for a lot of people all over the world, and Adelaide's not immune to it. And we all need to, all of us who are lucky enough to have a reasonable life, we've got to do what we can to help others less fortunate.
Yeah, for sure. Now, a lot of our friends and a lot of our companies that support us along the way, all year, in fact, on Triple M, have actually jumped on board already and donated. And, Roo, I know you've got a very special phone call coming in right now.
Yeah, Danny Casey, the CEO of Beaumont Tiles, is joining us this morning. Good morning, Danny.
G'day, Roo. How are you?
How are you, mates? What would you like to say today?
Well, look, I've got a bone to pick. Well, good morning, Dits and Loz.
Good morning.
Right. I've got a bone to pick with you, Roo.
Right. Yeah. Well, okay.
I've been on the first two Hike for Hope walks.
That's
with you.
Right. You kept
and
me going.
You and I spoke about this 6 months ago about getting another one going, and you've booked it for when I have to go overseas for work.
Oh, can you get someone else to fill in?
I'll get a few people to fill in. Yeah, so I'll miss their being there in person, but in spirit, I'll be there. And look, I think Triple N's doing a fantastic job, you and the team. Roo, you've always been a great supporter of Beaumont's, myself, and all the charities. And so on behalf of Beaumont's, we would like to donate to your walk, Kickstart for Kids, great breakfast program, $5,000.
Beautiful.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That's our biggest one so far. Thanks, Danny. And I know that we called into Beaumont's last year when we were walking, and you have been involved every year.
We did.
That's right. So thanks for so much that you do for us. And, yeah, another $5,000 this year. Good on you, Danny. Thanks. Where are you heading off to with Beaumont's? Where you said you're going overseas?
Well, I can't say.
Oh, okay.
I can't say. Dad's going to keep that under wraps.
Top secret.
Loz, I think you're doing a fantastic job there, trying to keep the two boys in
Thank you so much. I'm going bold, but thanks.
I'm an outcome-focused person, so I've seen the ratings go up since you've
done it. Have you now?
Easy, Case. Easy, mate. Easy, buddy.
So, Loz, this is your first trip, so you must complete the total walk.
Yes.
Beaumont's will donate $5,000
to puddle
jumpers. To puddle jumpers as well. Consider it done.
All right. Well, that'll motivate her.
Oh yeah.
Good stuff.
She's walking with her dad, Case. I'll get Brian to have a cattle prod just to get her across the line.
Hey, and Dits, I haven't seen yet the Hyde Park, and I keep looking out the window from my seat and see this again sign.
I was there on Friday, actually. I promise.
I told you'd be there, guys.
Well, Dits, you know, you're a great bloke too. You're a great supporter of South Australia, and on behalf of Beaumont's, we will pledge $5,000 to youth opportunities.
Oh, thank you. It's $15,000.
$15,000.
Bloody hell, Danny. Right. Thank you so much.
That is unbelievable,
That's
mate.
Incredible, mate. Beaumont Tiles, you've been around forever. Big, big South Australian company. Thank you so much for helping us out. That is very generous of you. Well done, Danny.
Are you going overseas because you're going to be on the run from the owners now? Something to give $15,000. That is awesome.
I haven't told Bunnings yet.
Oh. No, you're right. Well, iconic South Australian company, Beaumont's. Well done.
We'll drop in on Friday and say good day to whoever is working still.
Good on you, mate. Thanks, Danny.
Good on you.
Thanks, Danny Casey.
What a good bloke. And what a good company.
Gee, that's a good donation.
$15,000. Thank you to Beaumont.
Bang!
And everyone else, please. We don't expect everyone to give us $15,000 or $5,000, but any small amount will help us.
$15
Yeah, if you can. So please help us out and let's raise as much as we can.
Beautiful.
Adelaide's still getting belted this morning. It is raining heavily out there, and it's windy, and hasn't been all that nice for a few days.
Well, last night was a shocker. It was absolutely bucketing down, but Saturday afternoon when it come through, it was one of the real big storms that we've had. I was driving through the Adelaide Hills and had to pull over. Well, I didn't pull over, but 40 or 50 other cars did. I couldn't see, I reckon, 50, 60 metres in front of me with fog. And this was about 4 o'clock. Saturday arvo, but the rain was pelting down and there was water on the road. So, yeah, I'd never seen that many cars on the side of the road. They just couldn't handle that storm when it come through.
It was wild in Paracombe. It felt like the house was going to... We were in a winery and it felt like the beginning of The Wizard of Oz when the tornado comes and lifts up the whole house. That's what it felt like. But, yeah, no, we sort of held on for dear life and then it passed over. But bloody hell, it was
Because that's
so...
up on a big hill there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's up on a big hill and it was just coming from every direction. It was crazy.
You're riding bikes?
I went for a bike ride.
You idiot. Why would you ride into a storm?
I didn't know it was coming. It just looked a bit grey out there.
Dits and Mother Nature are at the other end of the spectrum. They're 180 degrees away, are you?
Anyway, we took some calls from our listeners. Stormy weather.
Coromandel Valley, Richard.
About a 40-metre gum tree. Significant. And it just, the whole tree ball, the whole root ball just fell over and just destroyed a neighbour's shed.
Look, are you saying a 40-metre high tree fell over?
Easy.
We're asking where you were when the storm hit. We've got Johnny from Meadows. Good morning, John. Where were you?
I was actually in a dairy.
A dairy?
Dairy? What, milking cows?
Yeah, I do a bit of relief milking for a mate. And I'd actually send a video to me mate. And I said, if you think I'm going to get the cows in this, you can go and get stuff.
How do the cows handle it? Do they start mooing or anything?
They just stick their asses to the wind and all huddle together. They were pretty keen. They were pretty keen to get the dairy when I actually went to get them in. They didn't want to get out the dairy.
Kerry from Happy Valley, where were you?
Hi, we were moving house.
No! You've got to be joking.
And we're looking out the back under the pergola, and the weather went from coming just one way, which I think was, you know, from the south, to all of a sudden I'm saying, Stephen, the weather's coming the other way. Oh, my God, it's coming this way. And it was just like a mini tornado. And we're just looking, oh, my God. And so the power went out. We still haven't got power. I've got three fridges.
Yeah, so good luck to everyone out there. Now, we spoke to Power Networks earlier. They've done an incredible job getting people back online, but they reckon...
still about 30,000, down from 160,000. Yeah. We also spoke to Rob Sharp from Sky News, where he said that we're definitely past the worst of it and hopefully it'll clear up today at some stage. So just hold on and should be right
just
shortly.
Just hold on. Triple M Brekkie, Rooditz and Loz, show that was is coming up next.